relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story. If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600.
Our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knocked these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
This is America First with me, Sebastian Gorka, and I'm very excited to introduce our guest host for today, Trish Regan.
Great to be with you here today, everyone. A very happy birthday to Mr. Sebastian Gorka, Dr. Sebastian Gorka. He deserves a day off now and then, right? And I'm so happy I get to be here with you. I am Trish Regan, everyone, host of Trish Intel, trishintel.com, and a new popular YouTube station as well. Anyway, what'd you think of the debate? What'd you think? I know what I thought. I know who I thought won. And that was none other than Donald Trump. It was a pretty outstanding job. You know, there were a lot of critics first time around. I was not as upset, shall we say, as everyone else with the first go around. I actually thought, you know, hey, it's not easy going up against two people, right? Joe Biden and Chris Wallace. But he did a very, very good job last night. And I would commend the moderator as well. She could have been better in particular instances. And we can get into that a little bit more. But overall, there was a better tone and there was a better feel and thus more substance to last night. And I think when you're talking about substance, this president actually has a lot of it. He's got a lot in the way of policy chops. And so that comes through in terms of what he was talking about with the economy, in terms of some of the international things, Iran, for example. All of this is very, very relevant. You know, we also saw Joe Biden effectively exposed, if you would. I was very glad, very, very glad that the moderator asked the question, right, about this apparent conflict of interest, the thing that you can't talk about right now. You know, God help you, if you actually tweet the thing out, then you might get shut down by Twitter. The New York Post saw this. A lot of conservatives saw this on Twitter. You saw the Trump campaign. Here we are just days ahead of an election. And what do? They shut down the Trump campaign's Twitter account. They lock it because they dared to share this piece of reporting from the New York Post. Anyway, it got increasingly more difficult because you had the guy who was the former business partner of none other than Hunter Biden, come forward in a press conference shortly before this debate, just last night, saying that, you know what? It turns out that the big guy that they're referring to on the China deal, where, you know, 10% would go to H, that was Hunter Biden, he said. And the big guy, he said, was none other than Joe Biden. So there's a lot of questions in terms of Ukraine, in terms of China, all these allegations out there. And so far, nobody's really asked him. There was the CBS reporter last weekend who dared to ask this question, right? And Joe practically bit his head off, did exactly the thing that he complains about with Donald Trump all the time. The poor CBS reporter is just trying to do his job, and the story had broken. And so rightly so, he was asking him the question. And then you had another reporter in North Carolina. Joe just walked right away from that one. And now, of course, the reporter last night asking the question, not following up, but she did ask the question. And he said, you know what, I've never taken any money from these foreign entities. So that needs to still be examined a little bit more. The one question I keep coming back to is this. If this is the disinformation campaign that the Democrats want us to believe it is, and John Brennan and Clapper and the rest of them, right, all the former intelligence professionals that came out and signed something saying this is nothing but Russian disinformation, if in fact it's disinformation, then was the laptop fake? Right? Are the emails fake? If so, then tell us, right? We ought to know. I mean, there's two people in the world that can clear it up, Hunter and Joe Biden. You know, Donald Trump kind of needled him a little bit last night. Let's go to cut six and listen to it.
You have raised a lot of money, tremendous amounts of money. And every time you raise money, deals are made, Joe. I could raise so much more money as president and as somebody that knows most of those people. I could call the heads of Wall Street, the heads of every company in America. I would blow away every record, but I don't want to do that because it puts me in a bad position. And then you bring up Wall Street. You shouldn't be bringing up Wall Street because you're the one that takes the money from Wall Street, not me.
So, he kind of needled him there. The moderator encouraged them to move on. Eventually, she did get there. You know the question I didn't hear, though, from the moderator last night? And I was really disappointed because, to me, this is important. I did not hear him being put to test here on the courts, right? I mean, he's made it clear that he doesn't want to address this issue. But packing the court is a big, big deal. Kamala Harris, just a year ago, while campaigning in New Hampshire, she said she would look at packing the courts. And in the past, Joe Biden's told us he hasn't wanted to. But lately, he's been really, really coy on it. And that's a problem because we're looking at Amy Coney Barrett, terrific woman, by the way. I mean, really just really impressive. Let's just say I have three kids. She's got seven. I can't even imagine. I just cannot even imagine. But I have tremendous respect and tremendous admiration for her. She is about to become a Supreme Court justice. And there's nothing the Democrats can do about it. You know why? He's got the Senate. And it is his duty. This whole business, right, about, oh, we're in the middle of an election and you got to wait for the people to decide. The people have already decided. And they put this president in for 4 years. So, you know, not for 3.5, not for 3.75, but for 4 years. And thus he has every right. And it is his duty, his constitutional duty, to have appointed somebody. And it is the constitutional duty of the Senate to come forward and to confirm or deny, right? I mean, this is their duty. And so this is what's happening. This is supposed to happen. And by the way, it's happened plenty of other times. Don't believe that business about, oh, this is so rare and this is unusual, blah, blah, blah. No, it's actually happened 29 times in history, which is quite a bit. So we didn't hear that question, but I get it. There was a lot to cover. There was a lot to cover there on stage, live from Tennessee last night. And it didn't go off the rails the way the first time around did. So that was much appreciated, let me just say, as a viewer. Again, if you let Joe just kind of ramble, he eventually steps in it, right? We've seen this over and over again. And sure enough, he stepped in it when it came to his comments on oil there last night. Let's go to cut one.
By the way, I would transition from the oil industry, yes.
Oh,
I will transition. It is a big statement because I would stop.
Why would you do that?
Because the oil industry pollutes significantly.
I see.
Here's the deal. But
that's a big statement.
So that was a good one to just stay quiet on. Just let him go. He started digging his own grave there. Now, I'm sure that there are some extremists on the left that loved it, right? I mean, Vogue magazine was running a headline yesterday. They were so excited that they were finally talking about climate change. Climate change. They didn't want to talk about foreign relations, but somehow climate change was top of the agenda. Anyway, they did talk about climate change, and they did get into this issue of fossil fuels, and they did get it into the issue of fracking. He, by the way, just flat out lied on fracking. We can talk about that a little bit later. But in terms of the oil, I mean, oh my goodness, Donald Trump got him to admit what he secretly wants, which is to get us entirely off of oil. Do you know how many jobs that would cost the U.S. economy? Any idea? Listen, you know, I don't know, is that played in Peoria, as they say, so well, because there's a lot of Americans here in states that he wants, right, that have jobs in the oil industry. And so you can't just wave a magic wand and say, that's it, we're done. that's not going to fly. That is not going to fly. You know, we have a terrific show for you here today. My friend Steve Cortez is going to be here to give us his reaction to the debate and talk about the economy, which has been going gangbusters, by the way. Adam Johnson, another really good friend of mine, terrific market watcher, is going to be here. He's the author of Bullseye Brief. He's got some great thoughts on where we are heading right now. We just need to continue this momentum, right? My friend KT McFarlane is in the house today. She's going to talk about Iran, all this talk about Iran trying to meddle in our election, and she'll share her thoughts on that, plus her reaction, of course, to this debate. And I got a special treat for you, a friend of mine who is a CEO of a company that is working on a vaccine right now on a massive scale to make sure that we are vaccinated against coronavirus. He's going to join us. He thought the president did just a terrific job last night and has been actually spot on with a lot of his handling of the coronavirus pandemic. So I'm here with you for 3 hours in for Seb. Don't go anywhere. Make sure you call in. We're just getting started.
Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Let's get back to the show with Trish Regan.
So good to be here with all of you today. The day after the debate, in for my good friend Seb Gorka, who is having perhaps a little birthday celebration. Anyway, good to see all of you today and talk with you as well. We're going to have Steve Cortez, my good friend Steve Cortez, come up momentarily. He's got some thoughts on this economy, which, by the way, has been doing great, right? I mean, you look at home sales data, you look at jobless claims going in under 800,000. Do you know that since March, we have seen 15 million people come off of unemployment? That, folks, is a record. So there's lots of good stuff happening. We just need it to continue, right? Steve Cortez joining me right now, senior advisor at the campaign. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Trish. Thanks for having me.
Welcome. Welcome to you. All right. So let's, first of all, your reaction to last night.
Listen, I think it was a command performance by the president. I think he was powerful and poised, and he made the optimistic case for why he should be, you know, effectively rehired as our national CEO. And I think in contrast, if you look at Joe Biden, he is unfortunately really a purveyor of panic. He's all about trying to exploit and foment irrational levels of fear. He threatens a national shutdown. He wants us to live in irrational fear of the virus. And he was completely divisive. I really think that the contrast to me was stark. Even though the president is the sitting incumbent president of the United States, he is still very much the outsider. And if you compare him to Joe Biden, the consummate Washington swamp insider of 47 years of elected office service in Washington, D.C. You know, I believe that it's ironic, it's paradoxical in a way, but I think Donald Trump is still running, even as president, as the outsider.
Yeah, it's a good point. I felt the same way because you look at Joe Biden there, 47 years, right, in the business. That's a lot. I mean, it's a lot of time. I can remember, like, as a kid, right, when he was running. So he's been around the block, right, shall we say, a few times. And you could hear that, right? You sort of hear it in the way that he speaks. It gets a little Washington-esque, very politician-esque.
I say that he was elected in 1972. That is the year that I was born. And Trish, I am a middle-aged man. I'm not young, okay? You know, I have children in their 20s. And so, I mean, think about that, though. I was in diapers when this man was first elected to Washington, D.C. Now, he thinks that that is an attribute. You know, I don't view it that way, because if you actually look at his career, too, to tie this back into the economy, what has he really done in all those years in the Senate and the vice presidency? I would say the only, quote, accomplishment, you know, sort of in air quotes, is terrible trade deals. He was one of the principal architects of NAFTA, as well as China's inclusion into the WTO and treatment as a most favored nation trading partner. He exported millions of American jobs overseas. That's what he did during his nearly half century in the Washington swamp. And we now know, by the way, that perhaps some of the motivation for his terrible public policy decisions was his private corruption, because serious allegations are still out there, still unanswered. He did not give any kind of significant or material response to President Trump's questioning about his participation in these dirty deals with the Chinese Communist Party. All he said is it's a Russian disinformation campaign, which is a ridiculous canard. Our own intelligence people have already told us that that is not the case. And Joe Biden, by the way, was then de facto calling Bob Alinsky, a Navy veteran, a former partner of his family's in business. He was calling him a Russian disinformation officer, a Russian propagandist. That's preposterous and not true. So these questions are still out there. And again, it ties into the economy, because it might be one of the driving private motivations for his terrible public policy decisions to sell out American workers to China for decades.
I'm really troubled that we don't have more information on that, Steve, that reporters have been ignoring it. I mean, it seems pretty simple to me. You just say, look, the laptop is fake, or the emails are fake, or they have been doctored. I mean, then we could kind of clear this up. Then maybe it would seem like it's some Russian disinformation, but they're not actually Hunter or Joe Biden. Hunter's like under a rock somewhere. Right. Joe Biden won't address this. But it seems like you could clear it up pretty fast.
Sure. The lack of a denial is very alarming, right? We're now on, I think, day 9 of this story. I would also say this, the lengths to which the legacy corporate media is willing to go, the lengths to which big tech is willing to go to try to suppress and ignore this story, I think is very revealing. And I think it reveals the explosiveness of this story, and they know it. And it's not going away, though. It's not. I mean, despite their efforts to put the curtain in front of the country and to not allow us to have transparency, our campaign, the president, thankfully, a lot of talk radio. That's why talk radio is so important in this country. You know, independent voices out there who are still interested in truth seeking and storytelling. It's not going to go away. And he is. I'm speaking to you from Trump campaign headquarters in Arlington, Virginia. And Bob Alinsky is here today, not at our campaign, but he's here in Washington, D.C. He is meeting with the FBI. He's going to soon meet with the Senate Homeland Security Committee. He has a story to tell. He seems very credible. And he tells us that he has a lot of corroborating evidence in his digital life, his phone records, his texts, his
emails.
Can I ask
you a question? Why would he be willing to come forward? I mean, I know he has a military background. Is this sort of like, you know, Good Samaritan, or is he upset that he didn't get paid something?
Right. No,
or is it more just, you know,
yeah.
I mean, it's a little bit weird, right? You, this whole story is unfolding. And if you're sitting there going, wait a second, I was one of those people on the email, then maybe it's, you know, self-preservation of some sort that you come forward. What's your thought?
Yeah, no, I think there are noble reasons. And I think also because he got cheated, you know, and he wants to get back at these people, which I don't blame him for. And actually, I just made a campaign headquarters. I put it on my Twitter, a video about this. I said, you know, there's no honor among thieves. And there was supposed to be, the arrangement was a $10 million payment from this Chinese energy mogul, shadowy figure connected to the Chinese Communist Party. He has since disappeared, by the way, Chairman Yi. But $10 million payment was supposed to go into Sinohawk, of which Bob Alinsky was the CEO. Hunter was a partner. Apparently Joe Biden, a silent partner. That is still, you know, to be determined. But anyway, the $10 million payment was supposed to go there. Well, instead, it was a $5 million payment. We don't know why, but it was a $5 million payment. Instead of going to Sinohawk, as it was supposed to, Hunter had it go to Hudson West, which is a company that he set up with his uncle, the president's or the vice president's brother. So Bob Alinsky only finds out about this because of the Senate Homeland Security report. He says, wait a second, that money from Chairman Yi was supposed to go to our account, not to the Biden private account. And so because of that, there's no honor among thieves. He was robbed, and he said, I'm going to come forward. I think on top of that, I think he's trying to clear his name, and it seems that he feels a patriotic obligation to tell the truth as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a pretty wild story. And just so, you know, people are clear, look, I mean, you can do business overseas. Hunter Biden was certainly, you know, well within his rights to do business overseas. He was, I guess, well within his rights to sort of you know, capitalize on his family name. It may not seem like the most scrupulous thing to do, but it's not necessarily illegal. But where it starts getting really fuzzy, right, is whether or not any of this stuff was going on while Joe Biden was vice president of the United States. And was his son, you know, one of the text messages where his son is actually writing to his own daughter and says something about, you know, how Pop would take 50%. I'm not going to take 50% right. of your salary like Pop does. So it's being alleged, of course, that Pop is Joe Biden. And if he was taking 50% of the deals while he was in office, well, then that's a pretty explosive story. And that's right. the smoking gun, so to speak. Am I right?
No, 100%. And I've said this a lot, too, in my media appearances. The story really is not about Hunter Biden. Hunter's not on the ballot. And, you know, the salacious aspects of his life, that's uninteresting, honestly, to the campaign. I know it makes for good copy and, you know, and blaring headlines. But what we care about is, what did Joe Biden do? What did he know about his son's activities? How did he participate in them? Did he have a financial benefit? It appears he did, according to his own son, now corroborated by Bob Alinsky. We've got to get to the bottom of this, and fast, because this man can't be commander-in-chief if he's been compromised by the Chinese Communist Party.
Steve Cortez, follow him online at Steve, forgive me, at Cortez Steve, at Cortez Steve on Twitter. So good to see you, my good friend. Okay, we're back with much more right after this.
FDNY firefighter Stephen Silver gave his life while saving others on 9/11, and the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been supporting America's frontline heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays off their mortgage to lift the financial burden and bring their family stability. For catastrophically injured veterans, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling our most severely injured heroes to live more independent lives. I'm asking you to support this cause that's committed to honoring our nation's heroes and ensuring people never forget 9/11. Help Tunnel to Towers to do good. Donate $11 a month at tunnel2towers.org. That's tunnel2towers.org. Thank you.
Portions of America First are brought to you in part by Job Creators Network.
So good to be here with you today in for my good friend Dr. G, who's celebrating a birthday, which he deserves, you know, a day off now and then. And I'm happy because I get to be here with you, and we've got so much going on right now. Right? Did you watch the debate? Who did you think won the debate? You can tweet me at Trish_Regan and let me know. You know who I thought. Anyway, last night's final presidential debate, it's in the history books, and the impact of the November 3rd election, or the impact on the November 3rd election, I guess at this point is sort of anyone's guess. I think it's going to be positive. But you know what? There's absolutely no debate about one thing in America, and that is our fight for our fundamental freedoms. Right now you get churches, right, being told when they can meet, how they can meet, or whether or not they can meet. You got public schools, you get athletic associations that are allowing boys to compete in girls' sports competitions, putting girls really at a disadvantage. I mean, those are just a few of the reasons right now why I'm grateful for all of our friends at Alliance Defending Freedom. They are fighting pivotal court battles right now. They really are, for people just like you. Right, whose freedoms are being threatened right now, and they're doing it for free. But ADF's Matt Sharp explains their important work. It really does depend on all of you. Listen.
And it's only through donations, both large and small, from listeners like you, grandmothers giving us $5, $10, $15, and others that are able to contribute more. Every one of those dollars goes to helping us take on new cases, to stand with our clients, to advocate for our First Amendment freedoms. All of this goes to enable us to do what we do free of charge to our clients as we're fighting for the freedoms of every American.
Yeah. So as we head into the weekend, before you forget, please go to sebgorka.com, click on the ADF banner so that you can donate. Donate your best gift, whether it's $100, whether it's $1,000, more, hopefully even more. It really is. It's that important right now. We're talking about our very freedoms. One more time, go to sebgorka.com now to make your donation, or do it by calling 877-412-5888. That's 877-412-5888. And thank you for helping me and helping Seb to fully fund Alliance Defending Freedom. Freedom very much is under attack right now. I mean, we've gotten to a point where it's somehow okay, right, for only one side to exist, for one side to think it's perfectly fine to shut down the other. And whether that's deplatforming, whether it's, you know, right now we're on YouTube. I was telling the guys, Seb's producers, I've been dealing with YouTube like you would not believe lately. You may have heard me tell Seb this last Friday about how I went on to talk about the vice presidential debate. Remember just a few weeks ago? And I was talking about, I actually was very complimentary to Kamala Harris and very complimentary to the moderator. But I talked about the policy itself and how fundamentally we've got some problems if we're looking at economic policy that takes from everybody in order to redistribute that wealth to everyone else. And we're going to talk about that. My friend Adam Johnson is on momentarily. We're going to get into that some more. You heard Steve Cortez allude to this as well. I mean, it's not good for our economy. And that was my point. And what happened? YouTube, within minutes of me saying this, demonetized it. Demonetized, said, you know, you can't advertise on that. So who is YouTube to make that decision? Why do they get to decide what I can advertise on, what I can't? I mean, this is our freedom very much that's at stake. So you know what happened? I had my team go in, and the team files a ticket, and then a human being looks at it and says, "Oh yeah, you know, she actually made some good points, and this is perfectly fine content." So my point being that algorithms are being designed to shut down any different points of view, even when they're extraordinarily substantive, and that's a dangerous position for our country to be heading in. I'm curious what you think. 1-833-33-GORKA, 1-833-33-GORKA. Let me know. But that's why it's important that I think we all stick together, that you listen to this show every single day, that you go to TrishIntel.com. Please download the podcast. Check out the podcast. Go and see my YouTube channel, because we need to stand together, right, and protect our freedoms together. And a big part of that is our freedom of speech. You think about the Cato study that came out a couple months ago. The majority of Americans don't feel comfortable expressing their opinion. And sure enough, it's predominantly conservatives that don't feel comfortable expressing their opinion. What you see is the left feels perfectly entitled and perfectly fine shutting everybody else down. But you're not allowed to be pro-Trump. Right here you can be. You know that. And you can be with me. And by the way, I don't even consider myself that political. I consider myself economic. I want economic freedom. Really, how is that controversial? Don't go anywhere. Adam Johnson is coming up. KT McFarland and the CEO of a big corona vaccine maker.
I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Let's get back to the show with Trish Regan.
Great to be here in for Seb today. And the president did a terrific job there on stage in Tennessee last night. You know, one of the reasons he did a great job was, you know, it was a little bit more polite, a setting, a little bit more subdued, enabling us to talk a little bit more policy. It wasn't perfect, but you know what? It was a heck of a lot better in terms of the moderator's style, perhaps, than we saw first time around. Anyway, he's also got a lot of good things going on right now in terms of policy. You know, I am a total policy wonk. You know how much I care about the economy. You know how much I care about the stock market and your 401k and the ability of every single one of us to live the most prosperous life possible and save money for the future. This is one of the reasons why this president is doing well. You look at the Gallup poll that came out recently, and what did it say? It said, you know, they asked people, and 56% of them said that they are better off now than they were 4 years ago. What do you think of that? I mean, that's pretty amazing considering all the challenges that we have been through. People are still saying that they're better off now. And, you know, somebody who is very much an optimist and has stayed an optimist in this market is my dear friend Adam Johnson, who is the founder and the author and the stock picker behind Bullseye Brief. And I welcome him here now, the author of BullseyeBrief.com. Adam Johnson, welcome. It's good to talk to you.
Oh, Trish, thank you so much. American ingenuity is alive and well. I know it, you know it, our listeners know it, and it's just such a joy to be able to celebrate that and to embrace it.
Yes.
More American ingenuity, Trish.
Well, you know, you look at all these companies day in and day out, and you get way down in the weeds. So we'll talk a little macro and we'll talk a little micro. But, I mean, you've been saying, and by the way, I should point out, Adam is up 40%. What is the S&P up, like 7%, 8% right now so far?
Yeah,
about
7.
Okay.
You know,
and you're up 40%.
American ingenuity, you know, just.
Wow. So how are you doing that? What is it that you're seeing that maybe the rest of the market is not seeing? I know that, you know, you kind of had to have nerves of steel during some of those early days in March. And
yeah.
Knowing that you did, how do you feel about things now?
Yeah. And to be clear, I may be up 40 now. But, you know, I was down a lot in March, and I just kept believing that this country is way too powerful to hold back and hold down. We purposely shut it down, and we did that to keep people safe. And then as we started learning more about the disease, we realized we don't necessarily need to keep everyone locked up. And as we got more comfortable with how to live with it, money came back into the stock market. And Trish, I think there is a lot of upside to this market right now, especially with low rates, especially with people going back to work. And it's still underappreciated. There's so many signals of growth out there, Trish.
Well, the one caveat here, because I have to put this into play, is what happens,
yeah,
though, if Donald Trump doesn't get another 4 years and we see this sort of socialist style economic policy, if we see cap gains going up to nearly 40%, what does that do to the market? I mean, maybe it keeps people in the market. You can't take your money out because you're going to get taxed at nearly 40%. But I mean, I just wonder what the rotation is going to be if a Joe Biden wins.
Well, remember the commentary during an election cycle is always at the extreme because that's how you get people's attention. I mean, the whole reason they're going after Google right now is to get people's attention. They can't go after Big Pharma, the usual scapegoat for high drug prices, because we need Big Pharma to get a vaccine. We can't go after Big Oil right now because actually oil prices are low and Big Oil is the only.
But wait a second.
Right?
I do believe that somebody did go after Big Oil just there last night. Joe Biden said he wants to. Yeah, can we play the sound again for Adam? Cut one.
By the way, I would transition from the oil industry, yes.
Oh,
I would transition. It is a big statement.
That's a
because
big statement.
I would stop.
Why would you do that?
Because the oil industry pollutes significantly.
Oh, I see.
Here's the deal. But
that's
you
a big statement.
It was a big statement. I mean, so, you know, you have to think about all these things, right? If you're buying oil companies right now, if Joe Biden wants to transition out.
Hmm. Well, here's the thing, Trish. Electric vehicles are powered by electricity, and 40% of the electricity in this country is generated from, you guessed it, Big Oil. And by the way, Big Oil is the only entity in the world that is rich enough that actually has the money to go out and build all the electric vehicle charging stations. So he can get up there and sort of play to his base and say, oh, Big Oil's bad. But ultimately, he needs Big Oil. And I think he's just going after big tech right now, again, to try to grab a headline and appease his base.
Mm-hmm. You feel like the American consumer is improving? How so? What data are you looking at?
Let me give you just a couple of wonderful data points that have all come out in the past week. Management at Wynn Casinos, and I don't know if you've been to Las Vegas, but the Wynn.
I love the Wynn. Are you kidding?
The best.
My favorite place.
Totally. Yeah, thank you. And you know, the Encore's good, which is their other property, but check this out. So Wynn Management told us earlier this week, no joke, they are getting 3,000 to 4,000 reservations per day just from California residents who want to visit within the next 2 weeks. It's incredible. How's that for a data point? And by the way, earlier this week, the TSA said that for the first time since March, TSA processed more than 1 million passengers in U.S. airports in a single day. So, you know, again, we're learning to live with this. We're being smart. We're being safe. We're getting back out there. We're getting on with our lives. People are going back to work. It's a great story. It's a uniquely American story. As Europe shuts down, we're opening up. I love it, Trish.
I love it, too. Listen, you know, people should go to your website, to bullseyebrief.com. Adam is devoted to watching all this day in and day out. I've known him many years, and he loves looking at stocks and companies and trying to figure out where the opportunities are. So I encourage everybody to check that out. And they should follow you on Twitter. We have it here on the bottom of the screen on YouTube at AJ Insights. So Bullseye Brief at AJ Insights. You'll learn a lot, I promise you. Adam Johnson, thank you so much for joining me. Appreciate it.
Oh, gosh. Thank you, Trish. American ingenuity alive and well.
Thanks. All right, Trish Regan, in for you here today, in for Sebastian Gorka. Trish Regan, host of Trish Intel, the brand new podcast, and you can check out our website where it is news that you need to know. You got to be more selective in this environment. You got to listen to this show. You got to go to trishintel.com along with sebgorka.com. I'm going to be back with a whole lot more right after this.
Portions of America First are brought to you by Alliance Defending Freedom.
Welcome back, everyone. Trish Regan here for Seb Gorka today. Trish Regan, host of Trish Intel, trishintel.com, where we are covering all the news that, well, the mainstream media doesn't really want us to cover, right? But you can get it there, I promise you. Anyway, we are just weeks away right now from Election Day, and early in-person voting has already started in Arizona, in Michigan, in Georgia, in Ohio, to name just a few of the states, right? What you're seeing is really incredible because we're seeing record turnout here, record-setting numbers. There are more states where early in-person voting has begun or is about to begin. So if you haven't yet visited America, KeepAmericaAmerica.com. I'm going to urge you to do it today. The voting information and the free resources they provide are trusted. They're up to date. While you're there, you can even sign up and be kept up to date via email. The 2016 election was decided, think about this, by just thousands of votes, not millions of votes, thousands. And nearly 400,000 of you all across the country have already gone to KeepAmericaAmerica.com. I want to see the number reach 1 million or more. And make this the biggest get-out-the-vote effort in conservative history, one that the liberal media cannot ignore. There are simple but vitally important things that you need to do. So vote. Visit KeepAmericaAmerica.com. Commit to just take one person to the polls, if you would, just one. Or help someone complete a mail-in ballot. Do a little, do a lot. Do your part. Go to KeepAmericaAmerica.com now. That's KeepAmericaAmerica.com. So good, again, to be with all of you here today. Trish Regan at Trish_Regan is my Twitter handle. And we had quite a debate there on stage, did we not, last night? Pretty exciting stuff to see. And the president did a phenomenal job. I mean, really, he was clear. He was concise. He was... Back to sort of what we had seen before, right? That change agent that is so needed right now in this country as we deal with the likes of the swamp, right? And I still have questions. I imagine you do too, right? Questions about just exactly what really went on as far as China goes, as far as Ukraine goes. 1-833-33-GORKA, G-O-R-K-A, 1-833-334-6752. I want to know what you thought. What you thought of the debate. Again, I would say hands down he won. And, you know, it's not like Joe is that easy to beat. I mean, he is a somewhat formidable force. He's been in politics, for goodness sakes, 47 years. 47 years, if you can imagine. And so he's got some of that go-to political speak that he employs. But I think that's what America's tired of. I mean, we want We want transparency. We want truth. And the one thing about Donald Trump, and sometimes it gets him into a little bit of trouble, but he always, always answers the question. You know, sometimes he probably shouldn't, but he's very forthcoming. And like I said, sometimes it gets him in a little bit of trouble, but he's always direct with America, and that's much appreciated right now. We have a big show this afternoon. The CEO of a major vaccine company is going to be here, plus KT McFarland.
If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600.